And we ask you to bless him, watch over him, and above everything else, heal him, God. Your word says that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. Be with us, please, Lord God, as we pray for Bob. Right now, as he's home, wash over him. Clear him up, God. No infection, no complications. Show Bob that you are still a great healer, God. All this man's been through, God, continue to heal him, please, Lord Jesus. This is for the Ruiz family, Javier and Cindy. Javier has COVID and will be placed on a ventilator today. He's been hospitalized for 2 weeks. He's an absolute warrior for Christ. His wife has COVID and MS. She seems to be recovering, and she's going to be moved to a nursing home this week, and we want to pray for their healing. Father God, we lift up the Ruiz family, Javier and Cindy and their daughter. We thank you, God, that you are a sustainer of life. You are the giver of strength, God. Your word says that you are a strong tower. The righteous run to you and are safe. God, we lift up Javier to you, God. We pray against getting him on a ventilator, God, by the power of your spirit, God, today we vigil a prayer for him, God, that you'd open up his lungs and you'd heal him and you'd strengthen him and you'd show those doctors that you're mightier and stronger than COVID or corona. You are the answerer of prayers, God. We lift up Cindy to you, God, and we pray that you'd be the lifter of her head, and God, that the lies of the enemy would not get to her brain. She wouldn't live in fear, God. We ask you because we pray over this family. Your word says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. God, heal this family completely, God. May the doctors and nurses be astonished. And God, I pray against the lies of the enemy that have gotten into Javier's head. God, I know what this thing does. God, the devil's a liar and the father of lies. May Javi today get mad at this thing. May he get angry. May he get up out of his sick bed and walk around. God, please, we want to hear. We want to hear amazing things. And I do pray for the hearts of those that are here, God, that somebody would adopt this as a prayer vigil. Every single minute of every single day, they would hold Javier in their heart to pray for him and to send him a message of hope. God, may the Ruiz family come out of this 10 times better. May what the enemy meant for evil, you turn around and make it for good. This is for a special prayer for a birthday girl. Oh, is this Tracia's birthday was the 14th? You, right. Scotty, lay hands on her. Sister, just. Father God, we thank you so much for Tracy, and we ask you to bless her for her birthday. God, that her and her husband in their new home would be blessed. Their house would be a house of prayer, a house of laughter, a house of joy. God, that above everything else, that Sean will be protected wherever he goes, his rising up and his going down, his coming in, his going out. The moon would not strike them by day, nor the sun by night, or any reversal of those things. God, we lift up Tracy, and we pray for all of the things that need to happen in the government with the citizenship paperwork process and all of that stuff. And when school starts again, pour strength upon her, pour steadfastness upon her. Take away any anxieties or fears. Your word says that she should be anxious for nothing. May she receive this, that she should be anxious for nothing, but that in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, she let her request be made known to you. And your peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard Tracy's heart and mind in Christ Jesus. May this be her greatest birthday that she's ever had. May she see prayers answered from Brazil to every corner of the world that she has family and friends. God bless Tracy on her birthday and all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Our brother Daniel, you got a birthday too, right, brother? Let's pray for Daniel. Father God, we lift up Daniel to you. We thank you so much for him and ask you to bless him, God, that the plans that he sets before you be the plans of a man and not the plans of a boy. The things that he desires to do for you, God, he would know you have ordained him a man, God, a man who could stand and deliver, God, all of the promises that you've made him, as your word says, as we sang our yes and amen. God, we lift him up to you, and we pray that you do some kind of changing in his heart, a healing, a strengthening, that you'd show him that your plan for him is a plan of peace and a plan of love and a plan to prosper him, a plan not to harm him, God, but to strengthen him, God, a plan to use him mightily, that all the things that he's been through in his life up till now, you're going to use, that he would comfort others with the same comfort that you've given him. Baptize this young man in your spirit to accomplish the things that you want him to. Bless this young man on his birthday. In Christ's name, amen. There's a few birthdays here. Lift them up with me. Father God, we lift up Chantel. We lift up to you Rocky. We pray for Briano, Menelao. God, all these people who have birthdays, God, that you'll baptize them in your spirit, that they would know and love life. They'd love life itself. God, we lift them up to you, and we pray for all of their desires to be in you. God, all their springs, God, your word says, though they pass through the valley of Baca, they will make it a spring. God, I lift up to you all those names here. God, Chantel, Rocky, Briano, Menelao. God, we lift them up for a blessing, God, that you pour your blessing upon them, Lord Jesus. Watch over and protect them. In Christ's name, amen. This prayer request says, Al Rangifo says yesterday he lost his battle with COVID. He was a lieutenant with BSO, School Resource Program. He has a wife and a son. Father God, we lift up this family to you, God, and I guess the reality that people die every day. God, may it not affect their faith to know that you are still a sovereign and mighty God, and that to you belongs escapes from death, your word says. God, that although Al, he might not be living in this world, God, he's alive in you. God, may he know you and see you face to face, and may his family, may they be comforted, God, because your word says you're the God of all comfort. Be with them, God. Give them dreams and visions to know that there is no death in you, only life. Baptize this man's family, God. Give them dreams. May his children, may his child, may his son grow. To know the power of forgiveness, the power of light. And may all of the love that his father poured into him last him a lifetime. God, all these things today we lift up to you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Deerfield Beach, the house of prayer. Glad you could join us for a Bible study. Cole's got Bibles back there. And since he's already had COVID, he don't care. Lift up your hand if you need a Bible so you can follow along.
Do I have a
praise report? Two of them.
My father fell 2 weeks ago and cut his head open really bad. Them 16 stages.
Gee.
And he was drunk when he fell. And ever since then, we've been praying for deliverance. You know, we've been praying for many years for deliverance from alcoholism. And he hasn't drank since then.
Hallelujah. Second one?
Remember Michael who passed away?
Yeah.
His wife, well, he was not involved in the family. Like, he was very away from the family. He was just, like, with his family and not wanting to hang out with us or anything. And now his wife and son are spending every weekend with us.
Hallelujah.
So they're like...
And God brings life even in death. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's never forget the little blessings. Steve's at home with COVID.
Steve.
I talk to him every day. I've been calling him and praying for him. And his experience with COVID is nothing like mine. Sorry, you can't eat your popsicle. Geraldine is safe and she's still negative and feeling good and strong. please keep them in your prayers. Myself and a bunch of others have lifted up Dean Callen, you know, Dean and Mickey. I have personally taken him as a prayer vigil every minute. I mean, I send him a text like every 15 minutes. I send him a Bible verse and a text and praying, and all night long, 3 in the morning, I'm sending texts, and he's definitely starting to turn that corner. His oxygen levels are going up above 90. He went for a walk and got a shave and a haircut yesterday, and it was touched because his daughter, I don't know if he's at home listening, I hope not, but his daughter said he's a terrible patient. Doesn't listen, don't do nothing. Just telling you what they said at home, I don't know. My family said the same thing about me, so. Huh? No, you're a good patient? Such a nice, kind man. So keep Dino lifted up and adopt a prayer vigil. Adopt. I just have such a, now that you go through this thing, you know, you want to just know that the power of prayer is even greater than this. And even through death and life, God's mercy will shine through. Steve has announcements for us today. Steve. You guys are new here, don't know what that's about. You will. When Steve comes back, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. We are suspending the ladies thing for now. The men's breakfast is, we didn't do that. We're going to get back to all those things as we see. I don't know how this thing develops, and I just don't want anybody to, I don't want anybody to get sick because of me or because of this, but there's just so many things that we're going to do and not do in the future that I don't want anything to hinder this. And if a men's breakfast hinders this, I don't know if that's the call. Yeah. This is the call. Do not forsake the gathering of the brethren as the manner of some, so much the more as we see the day approaching. Johnny, your texts and your phone calls, bro, they were just right on time. I'm telling you, going through this thing, just a text or a phone call from a brother or a sister is the meals, the love. It is the mental aspect of this thing. Please, please, please adopt one of those people. Find somebody that has this thing. Take them as a prayer vigil, especially this Javier. Obviously, that's something that's immediate on your heart. Everybody's got their Bible? Any other announcements that I forgot? Anybody? How's it going over at the convalescent home? Good. Hallelujah. Right on. Six o'clock this coming Saturday is youth group. We will not forsake that either. My children will be there. So if you have a child that's of junior high to high school, yep. Junior high to high school, bring them out.
We got some responses from our convalescent home letters too, which is a huge deal. The lady over at Brookdale, she has pictures posted on Facebook, which I'll be sharing with y'all as soon as I can figure out how to work that thing. We'll have some great stuff to celebrate next week. So we already have two letters to respond to. And she says it's a very big blessing to those people. It just brought them life. And they're in there and they don't have anybody else really being able to visit them.
Changes their lives. Contact. Amen. Thank you, brother. If you have a Bible, please turn to the third chapter of the book of Colossians as we continue our chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through the Word of God. We're going to pick it up in the 18th verse, I'm sorry, the 18th verse of the third chapter of the book of Colossians. This is where we left off a few weeks ago before I took my couple weeks sabbatical. Again, I thank you, Mr. Marty, for covering the pulpit's services. You are a blessing, and we lack nothing. Colossians 3 and verse 18 is where we're going to start. One of my favorite verses. Let's pray, ask God to bless our ministry. Holy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. You are the Word made flesh, God. By your mountain, by your grace, by your mercy, we stand strong. Please, may your word change our life. May we not be here for entertainment. May we not be here for stubbornness. May we be here because we need a touch from a living and loving God and love from brothers and sisters. Baptize us in your spirit. Please, God, to do these things. In Christ's name, amen. Over the last few months, we've studied, well, we went through Acts and Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. And when we were going through this same section of Scripture, which covers these things, we went in detail. We literally stopped, and every week we only covered one verse. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, do this. And something hit me over the last few weeks of reading this. I think I've got the attitude mixed up with the directive. You might be saying, what do you mean, Ryan? I think the calling that this world has in our hearts is so attractive, it's so pretty, it's so sweet that we have the wrong attitude about the entire thing. Stay with me, I'm going to start to make sense in a minute. One of the first things I heard in Christianity that I didn't understand at all was my pastor said, I want you to live with heaven stamped across your forehead. And I thought, well, that's, you know, that's interesting. And as a young believer, as somebody who was just starting to walk with the Lord, just starting to go to church, I was like, heaven stamped on your forehead. Now, the funny thing is, when you first get saved, if you're like me, you got saved in the midst of a mess. You made a mess of your life, and you came to God and said, hey, can you clean this mess up? So the first thing that happens is he forgives your sin, and off of your shoulders that weight. Oh, man, what is that feeling? You don't know what it is. You don't know how to describe the peace that surpasses all understanding, the joy that replaces happiness. Oh, my goodness. That forgiveness of sin for the first time. But then all of a sudden something happens, doesn't it? You realize there's a lot of living left to do. It's like we should just get saved and like step from one thing just whoom, right into heaven. What happened to that dude? He got saved. Did he die? No, he just got saved. Imagine if the rapture occurred as you got saved. I'm like, I'm in. Sign me up. That was the one thing about this COVID thing, man. I was like, God, a rapture right now would be like just what the doctor ordered. But Ryan, there's other people I haven't got saved yet. Can they get saved after? That's the look I believe God gave me. Well, a little trial in your life and you're completely shaken. I am, God, I'm a spoiled brat. So we have this crazy thing that happens as we start to live life. We forget that heaven is supposed to be stamped on our head. Now, let's go to the verses that we're studying, and let's see why it's so confusing. I'm trying not to confuse you, but you'll see what I mean as I develop the message a little. Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Chapter 4, 1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Please give me your attention. We could spend, obviously, weeks on each one. And let me tell you, wives, why you should submit according to this. And I did that. I did that. If you want to look up the tape, it sells very small, very slowly. That's a joke. We don't sell tapes. It's just sorry. I could say, husbands, here's your calling. But you know what? You know what this last few weeks has done to me? Holy crap. What I've been holding on to. What I've been worrying about. What bitterness in my heart toward my wife. Man, stop complaining, woman. Now, what did I do? I looked over at my wife in the bed next to me. Couldn't take care of myself, trying to get up and get out, get strong so I could take care of her. Looking at my son-in-law coming in, eat this, drink this. What am I been worried? How did heaven get unstamped on my forehead? How did I worry about all these stupid little things? Don't disrespect me or this is... It's an attitude. The Apostle Paul hammered through these things, and I do not believe it was his heart to say, okay, wives, here's the thing. You can be just like Christ if you submit to your husband, even though he's an idiot. And all of the things that as pastors we do, okay, why? Husbands, here's the thing. Husbands, I know she's the weaker vessel, but here's what you got to do. I don't believe that this was his attitude here. I believe his attitude was this. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, bondservants, masters, all of the things that you are in life, whether these be your title, whether these be your position, whether this be your gender, whatever it is, doesn't matter at all. You know what matters? Christ. You're in a world where people are dying every single day. Oh, more so now. The statistics on this disease, they're really not scary until you know somebody who dies. Maybe I'll be the one in 400. Maybe I have some. This thing kicks your butt, man. This thing doesn't just get in your blood. It gets in your brain. All of a sudden, one in 400 dying is like a, let's see, I know one person, two person. Yeah. What did I do yesterday? Oh, my goodness, was I mean to my... Before I left the house, was I mean... Oh, my goodness. Now, the crazy thing is, the statistics on your own life are the same. How many people get in their car every day, start their car up? I mean, you go swimming in the ocean, hit by lightning. I mean, the statistics are all there for us to ignore or to learn from the position and perspective of saying, what have I been living that's so important? What have I been doing? Have I thought that my job at work was to buy and sell and make a profit? Or have I been thinking properly to say, every employee, every client, every every city official, every regulatory body is there for me to share God's love with. Does this make any sense?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. If you're new in this thing, some years ago when I was coaching MMA fighters, we did a video. This Vice did this video about the fighting pastor, they called it. You can look it up on YouTube. It's good. I think they did an amazing job. Vice, they used to actually be a news outlet. And the craziest thing was the hate. If you know anything about YouTube, man, in the comments, this guy's not a real Christian. He's not a bad. Just the hate that you get from other believers. I know this guy. He's probably molesting those kids. It's horrible, horrible stuff. And you just, I mean, as somebody, as you just laugh at it. You just, you know, you're such an idiot. But here's the thing that confused some people. If you're so in ministry, if you so are in love with the Lord and teaching kids how to beat each other up is so important to you, then why don't you transform your violent life and become like a full-time pastor? And this was the logical aspect of some people's thinking, what are you doing? You know, if you really love God, how many of you guys here, if you really love God, you'll get out of the work you're in and get into ministry. You're not going to fight no more. You're not going to sell things anymore. You're going to get a job at a church. That's what the world's mindset is. That's what they think about us. Thus, we start to think that about ourselves, not realizing that each and every one of us is in full-time ministry. If your perspective is right, we've been to church for 15 years. Do you know how many people, God bless them, and I love my, and I hate when I say anything that sounds negative about other churches, but they, wait, you think you're ever going to go into full-time ministry? It's like, I've been in full-time ministry for 15 years. Yeah, but I mean, like, you think you'll leave the workforce and, like, why would I do that? Well, can't you, you know, don't you want to work at the church? Well, imagine going to work at church. Like, why would I want to do that? Don't I want to be effective? Don't I want the stamp of heaven on my forehead out there in the world interacting with the lost? Don't you? I never, ever want to lose the scent of hell in my nostrils. I want to always be able to smell. Hey, man, can I pray for you, though? He said, what? I just want to lift you up, man. Yeah, go ahead. You can pray for me. And then they go to walk away, and you put your hand on your shoulder, and you start praying. And you go, oh. The Amazon guy thinks I'm a weirdo. I'm not going to that place today. You go to that place. They're always touching on me, praying for me. It's beautiful. It's beautiful, and it's sad that in a country like ours, we're not talking about the Middle East, we're talking about the United States of America, there are people who get freaked out because you said to them, hey, could I pray for you before you go? It's scary, and it's opportunity for us. Now, some of you guys might be like, dude, I just don't get the understanding here of what this has to do with the Bible study. It's everything to do with it. Wives, submit to your husband. It's fitting in the Lord. Do you know what that dude did? Do you know? You know what? I don't care. And I don't think the Apostle Paul cared. Husband, love your wives. Man, you know she never stops this. She never does this. She doesn't give this enough. She doesn't do that. Like, get over yourself, dude. There's more important things going on than the details of your life. Your life is but a vapor. It is here today. It is gone tomorrow. Do you want to wind up before God and say, I worried about all the wrong things. I worried about all the wrong things. And this is what happens. And I'm going to tell you how it happens, okay? You get saved. God cleans up the mess. He stamps heaven on your forehead. And you know what happens? I want you to look at the next part. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. As an employee or employer, as a non-believer, I was horrible. Horrible. Show up late, got an excuse, my clock didn't go off, got a flat tire. I gave my bosses every excuse that I swore in my head and in my heart made sense. He doesn't know if it's true or not. Like, and every boss that's over here is like, dude, don't you know how many times I've heard these same lies? No, we don't. We don't. No, you don't understand, man. I got into a big fight with my... Nobody cares, dude. Go to work. So what happens is I get saved, and all of a sudden I get a little diligence and a little strength, and I show up to work 15 minutes early, and the craziest thing happens. You start having a little success in life. Money starts flowing in. And at first you're, hallelujah, Lord, thank you so much, and I'm going to outgive God, and I'm going to start faithfully tithing, and God's going to give back. And or here's my least favorite one, single brothers and sisters here. You get serious about the things of the Lord, and all of a sudden you become like you become valuable. You'll find out as a serious born-again Christian man, there's sisters who were way out of your league, but all of a sudden they're not out of your league because a good sister wants a good leader. And it happens the other way around too. You have a sister who, she's just a bloody mess. I mean, her life is just a mess, and she comes to church and she gets saved. God restores her purity, her righteousness, her grace starts to shine through, and now she becomes a daughter of the King, ready to become an amazing wife. And we watch this happen, and sometimes it takes a couple of years, and then they get together, these two saved, loving, good people, and then they're somewhat successful in life. And then they have a child, and raising this child is important, and going to work, and we got offered a job in Atlanta, and we're going to move to, like, whoa, where are you going to go to church? Oh, this church is, I mean, Atlanta is the Bible Belt, you know what I mean? We'll find a church. No, that's not how this works, man. That's not how this works. What are you talking about? Listen, you were an irresponsible turd before you came to the Lord. You came to the Lord, God made you a responsible turd, but make no mistake about it, you're still a turd. And you need church. You need pastor. You need brothers and sisters.
Well, we've got it all together now. We've got some money in the bank.
We see this over and over again. And it's that stamp of heaven that was placed on your forehead. It starts to wave in the wind. And it takes something. Switch gears for a second. It might not be that complicated. It might not be that severe, guys. You could be a servant of the Most High God. You could be somebody who's never turned their back on God, that's never walked away from God, and you got saved and you stayed strong, and God still allows something to happen in your life. We talked about this on Wednesday night. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. The Bible says, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens as a father, the son in whom he delights. Am I going to sit here and tell you, hey guys, man, I was really in a bad place with God and this is why this happened? No, I wasn't. I wake up every day and spend time in the Lord, with the Lord and in the Word. Why did God allow this protection, why me, God? I'm a pastor. Why did you let this happen to me? My wife, I had to worry about my kids, my son-in-law, my son, my daughters, my grandkids, all of us. Just keeping you humble. Well, maybe you could keep somebody else humble for a while. Oh, don't I have the authority to do with my things that which I desire? Yeah, but God, it's just not like fair. It's not fair. Fair? What, did you get cancer? Did you die? Notice people have it a whole lot worse than you, son. Yeah, but this really sucked. Yeah, it did. And hopefully it gives me, like my daughter Arlie sent me a text this morning. Daddy, what did you get out of this thing? Is it just a blip in the road that says, yeah, that sucked? Or is there, and I said, you know what it is for me, Ar? It's fresh brokenness. It's a reality of, my goodness, I was worried about what my wife, such stupid things. There was a time a couple of months ago that we actually had a serious conversation about, I don't know, maybe we're screwing this thing up. You know, it's like, what are you, stupid? What did you worry about? How did you get here? What does God have to do in your life? Or, you ever play those old school Candyland games and stuff like that? You remember? You just get that flicking finger. And when does that arrow point to you? Your turn for a trial. Give somebody else a trial. And I'll be honest with you guys, this is where my family's been for the last couple of years. Business is good. Children, grandchildren, just growth. Yeah, we've had trials, but not trials. This. Are we good for a while? I don't know. No promises. Keep that glue and that stamp. And then you know what's going to happen? Let me read this to you again now with this thought in mind. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Before we continue reading through, if you're new to Scripture, this was written by a man called the Apostle Paul. He was at first called Saul of Tarsus. He was a leader of a synagogue of the Jews. And then he became, after being saved, Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, light shone, scales on his eyes. He got saved and he started serving the Lord Christ. Well, that service to the Lord Christ, he lost his family, he lost his friends, he lost his position. And worse than all that, he found himself at this point in time in a Roman prison, surrounded by guards, chained, because he would not stop talking about the Lord. And all they would tell him is, just stop talking about Jesus Christ and we'll let you go. Are you with me? He's in a prison. At any minute, they could chop his head off. Blasphemy from the Jews, blame from the Romans. And maybe, just maybe, he wanted to be Hey, can I, Pastor, can I get together with you after church? Sure, what's on your mind? Well, here's the thing. My Facebook page, my wife found some friends that she didn't approve of. And on Instagram, I found... And then she's got a Snapchat. And then I found on his thing, this dating app. And he says he just did it because he wanted to see. And the Apostle Paul, ready? He's in a freaking jail cell waiting to die. And he's like, "Are you kidding? Listen, wives, submit to your husband. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey." What are you worried? Imagine you got somebody you know, and some of you guys do. We got Javier in the hospital, right? Why don't you go up now, go talk to Javier about the details of your life. Why don't you go talk to Javier? Say, "Javier, I need your advice. You're a godly man. I need some oxygen. Okay, Javier, do me a favor. Tell me, what should I do? I found in my wife's pop. My wife said to me, my kid..." You know what he'd say? "Forget about that crap. Heaven on your forehead. Look at everybody as an opportunity to share the love of God." That hurt. I shouldn't hit myself that hard. Verse 1, chapter 4, "Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, that knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Just in case there's anybody here that doesn't understand master, servant, master, bondservant, very quick Bible study. We're almost done. According to the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus, the book of Deuteronomy, if you were down on your luck, let's call it, let's just use that terminology, you can go to a neighboring tribal member, and you could say, "Hey, listen, my crop failed, I made bad choices with what," and you could say, "Can I be a slave for you?" And that person could become your master. And now you were a slave to them. You were going to work for them for 7 years. And you would call them master, you would be their slave. And after 7 years, according to Bible slave-master relationship, they would set you free. And when they set you free, they're supposed to send you out with enough food, enough livestock. You will now be set free. That is proper slavery. Not the bastardized slavery that was developed in Africa and Asia and then adopted in the United States for some years until we put an end to that. Thank you, Lord. This was proper slavery. So when you get somebody who thinks they know the Bible, "Say the Bible was for slavery," you don't know what you're talking about. The Bible is for slavery, but not the slavery you thinking. The proper form of slavery. Now, you go from servant or slave to what's called a bondservant. At any point in time, after this 7 year period, you can say to your master, "You know what? I got a life here. You gave me one of your daughters, one of your other servants as a wife. My kids are, I want to stay." He would make you then what's called a bondservant. He would take your ear and he'd put it on the doorpost of his home. He'd take what's called an awl. If you don't know what an awl is, that's a pointy screwdriver. He'd tap it into the meat of your ear, and he'd give you a golden ring. And you'd put that in your ear. You could put it on either side you want. Right wasn't gay back then. Sorry. And you would be known as a bondservant to that family, to that. This was now, you're here willingly. And you're telling this guy, "Listen, just give me whatever." There's no, "Well, here's the taxes for the government, and here's it." So all these things that he's saying here, please keep in mind, you who do not know Scripture or you have this cynical aspect of your life. Man, slavery, according to the Scriptures, was intended to help people get a leg up. not to keep them down. And to be a bondservant, now again, go back to verse 1 of chapter 4. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. If you've waited 7 years, dude, so this guy decided to stay with you, you take good care of him. Don't think just because you can rob him, you should. Just because you don't have to give him more. And this now, obviously, applicable to your employee-employer status, if you're an employer here, like, hey, dude, you got people that work for you. If you're making a good living, take care of them. Don't think God can't shut that flow off anytime he wants. Hey, employees, he's not the man. I realize you grow up thinking, especially in our schools and education system, I work for the man. Stop. You work for God. God is able to change his heart. God is able to change. Oh, you don't know my boss. Then you don't know God. Are you with me? And what are we talking about? The first thing that we started, it's all attitude. It's all about the attitude. When heaven is stamped on your forehead, you're going to fight a whole lot less with your wife or husband. You're going to worry a lot less about your kids. When you got a mess of kids and grandkids like we got, you get to worrying, you get to detailing them, you get to micromanaging them. It's like, what am I doing? What am I worried about this stupid little stuff for? What am I doing? Now, finishing, here's the attitude. What's the attitude? You ready? Here's the attitude. Verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He says, you know what the right attitude is? Man, you gotta be in prayer all the time. I believe it's Philippians, I don't remember exactly. Pray without ceasing. Always. Don't lose that. I don't care if you're a bondservant. I don't care if you're a master. I don't care if you're a husband. I don't care if you're a wife. I don't care if you're a child. This is the right attitude. This is the attitude that will change everything. Again, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I want you all to pray for the person. If you go to Walmart or you go to Publix, I want you to do that next time you're there. A girl taking your money, or the dude taking your money, or the guy that walks that takes your groceries out. However, I want you to say, hey, could I just real quick pray for you? I want you to put your hand on their back and pray for them. If you've never done that, what an opportunity. You're going to change their life. Watch God do something crazy. But I warn you, once you do it once, God's going to ask you to do it a lot. And you won't want to do it a lot. As a matter of fact, it's a new conviction. In case you didn't have enough convictions in your life, it's a new conviction that every time you leave Publix or Walmart or whatever, and you didn't pray for that person, you'd be like, I failed. I've got so many failures in my life at this point in time. It's okay. Pray. And then he says, I want you to pray for us, that God would open a door to us, that the word would go forth, and I would speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may speak and make it manifest as I ought. And then in verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This, for me, is probably the worst. In case you didn't know, I'm from Alabama, and I have that southern accent that is evident, and it's that polite, kind, giving. Karen, here we go, we tickled her. Here's, give her a minute, it takes her a few minutes to get out of it. Okay, deep breath. You with us again, Karen? Thank you, love. I'm a New Yorker. And New Yorkers don't get saved. At least this area of our lives don't get saved. We're always kind of obnoxious and pushy, and the Lord's always like, dude, season your speech with salt. I know it's the hardest part, and I know that your heart is right, and I know that you care about people, brother, but you see what he says here? He says, I got to walk in wisdom toward those that are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt. Man, you want to change somebody's life? Listen to me. The evidence of what's going on inside should be what's going on outside. But, and this is a big but, if you take this and put it here without putting it here, you're just full of crap. And I don't want that. I want you to try to allow what God's doing on the inside manifest to the outside. And when it does, you're going to love it. Believe me when I tell you, you're going to love it. Did you get it?
Yeah, I was just wondering, because it says season with salt, not with sugar, so you don't have to do that sweet.
Well, whatever excuse you want to give yourself, that's between you and the Lord. Me, I want a little sugar and a little salt. I want a little sugar and a salt. I don't want to be patting people on the back for nothing, but I do want to make some changes in my life. And this is, maybe some of the other Bible study was for you. For me, this is probably the most something I could apply immediately. Dude, lose in New York. You're in Florida since 1988. Be a little kinder. A little sugar, a little salt ain't gonna hurt nobody. As a matter of fact, you might be surprised when you see that they see something different, that there might be something going on. And then the opportunity for, as what he said, the door that's open to speak the manifest word, and people's lives might actually get changed. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word and for a different mindset, God, a different attitude toward marriage and work and kids and parenting and being a son or daughter. Lord, we thank you that you're still working on us. And we ask you, please, to protect our church. Protect all the churches. Protect, God, we want to pray for every single person in this world. God, put an end to this COVID thing. God, help some scientists come up with a cure. And if we can be used in any way to be a bolder witness for you, that's what we want. Love you, God, and thank you. And these things we do ask humbly with a different attitude. In Christ's name, amen.